And Mabel and Eris were married, and they had that one child, Ralph. They stayed with Mother, because see, Dad wouldn't be there all the time, or stayed at the house. And I was in the sixth grade, and we were warned never to go to that hospital. Well, see, we were only 2 blocks from it, being a long far to the 24th Street in Harrison. Mm-hmm. And I just had to see my mother. I couldn't take it any longer. So as soon as the bell rang, I ran out, and I ran all the way to the D Hospital. I'd never been inside, and I wondered to this day, how did I know where to go or ask? And all I can remember next is going down a hall, and everything smelled of ether and chloroform in those days.
Yeah.
You could hardly stand it. And I'd look in each room to see which one my mother was in. And when I did find the room, Mother was as white as a sheet. She had dark hair and dark eyes. And I thought, well, that's Mother. And I went in, and I don't know who was the happiest, Mother or me.
Hmm.
And she hadn't heard from her kids.
Wasn't she?
She was there a whole month. And after this time that I was, and I got hell when I got home from Mabel, because I didn't get home and help out with doing this or that. But anyway, before she did, before Mother went, and see, I was about 12,
mm-hmm.
and she told me she had a feeling that she wouldn't come back, and she showed me where, and she called it the safe, and she had a key to this particular drawer, and she had a little money in there she had saved, and she said, if anything happens to me, don't let Dad separate you 4 kids. And don't go down to Christian's. Well, knowing my dad, we wouldn't have had 2 cents worth. He wouldn't listen to us. But anyway, and she told me what to get with that. We were supposed to get white dresses for the girls and do this and do that at 12. That was a lot of responsibility. But she just felt she didn't. Well, come near the time of being a month there, she woke up at night, and her feet were ice cold, and it kept moving up her legs. And at that time, Martha Lowe, Aunt Mary Belknap Lowe's daughter, had started nursing in Preston, and now she had to come down here to finish it here, because mm-hmm. they didn't have a full. And so Dad said, paid her to sleep in the room with Mother, because she needed a night nurse. Well, Mother said, these gals that's been raised on the farm are good sleepers. They go to sleep. And she called, and she called her, and she couldn't get her to wake. And she said, I felt it coming up the legs and getting close to my stomach. And she says, I just knew if it come up any farther, I was going to die.
Hmm.
And she said she prayed and prayed to be saved so she could raise her kids. Anyway, she finally got Martha alive, and then they come to action. I don't know what they did, but they said that they immediately got the doctors and other nurses, and she was there another week or so, and then when she came home, she had to be in bed a whole month after she got home. Nowadays, they get up and walk, you know, to make them walk.
Yeah.
And we know now that was the best thing for them. But time she'd been down about 2 months, she could hardly get around.
Their muscles had atrophied, she couldn't move. Yeah.
So then that was about 1917 or 1918 or so, right?
Well, right around 1917, because World War was on, we moved. They had 904 ready by the time she got better. But Grandmother Belknap had stopped in to visit us. I guess Dad had brought her, because I never saw her walking around any place. But I was holding Ralph.
Now, Ralph was born in 1917.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was holding Ralph. See, this could even have been the next summer, but anyway, I had pins. I had been putting some patterns on something and was making something. I had some pins in my mouth and I started to saw, and I had Ralph, and I didn't drop him, but I come down real quick, got him on the floor so I could get my head over and get those damn pins out. And then Mabel come in, she saw the tail end of it, and I got hectic. I was hurting her poor baby, but I didn't. But Grandmother Belknap came up to see him, and I thought, well, Grandmother was a little smart, even if she was an old lady at that time. She came up and she complimented Mabel on her beautiful blue-eyed boy. Of course, he wasn't blue later, but he was then.
Uh-huh.
And because Mabel, see, was a blonde and blue eyes, she was a pretty girl when she was young. We're all better looking when we're young, Brent.
Don't tell me that. I'm already ugly right now. What am I going to be like?
He hasn't got started, has he?
Well, the first time I ever saw Paul's teeth, Grandma Belknap was in the kitchen, and I walked out there, and I saw her take her teeth out. And said, oh, Grandma, can you take your teeth in your mouth? Oh, I was shocked to death. That's about the only thing I remember my Grandma Belknap. You know, I have something cute I'd like to tell about your dad. Donald, I don't know whether I should or not.
Sure, go ahead.
Now, if it isn't anything bad.
Well, no, I think it was cute, but Donald and Gordon were close together in age.
No, they had two girls between them.
No, not between
them. Not Donald and Gordon. Donald Leslie Belknap and Gordon Eugene Belknap are close together.
Oh, yeah, I thought you went the other way. Okay.
Anyway.
Excuse me.
Eris Guy Belknap, son of Hiram and Anna Bluth Belknap, was the first bishop of the 20th Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a matter of 33 years old at that time. And so he had to look around and sat on the building to be built. And it was, I think, yellow brick, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And it was on the north side of 21st Street between Jackson and Van Buren. And Eris lived on the south side of 21st Street between Van Buren and Harrison. But he's the second house up from the corner. And so Mabel said, well, the brick was laying out in front of the ward. And so she said every 15, 20 minutes she'd go to the living room window, the dining room window, because they were both, rooms had big windows to see what those two little young ones were doing.
Uh-huh.
But she got so interested in what she was doing one day, all of a sudden the darling went back. Oh, she's over an hour since I'd checked those two little boys. What have they been doing? So she went to the front screen door, and the porch was just covered with yellow brick all over. Oh, Donald, Gordon, come here. Yes, Mama. So they came. Oh, you boys bring all these bricks up here. Mm-hmm. Why? We just wanted to show the people in the 20th Ward that Bishop's kids could be just as mean as any other kids in the ward.
You know, that's what's bad when you've got...
Anyway, they were just quite tired. And Mabel says, well, you have to take all those bricks back to the church. You show the people in the ward the bishop is going to be the best kid in the ward. We're too tired. Each one had a little red wagon. We can't take them back. You brought them up, you have to take them back. And so she says they emphasized their tiredness and everything else. We walked up the front porch steps and got the bricks up and put in their little red wagons and slowly walked down the street. They had to cross the street, getting on the other side of 21st Street. And they struggled trying to pull it down. She says, I knew they didn't struggle that way bringing them up, but they were how tired they were. And they come back, can't we stop? No. After you get all the bricks down to the church, then you stop. And she says, took them an hour or more to get all those bricks back down to the church. She says, I don't know how those two little boys could get as many bricks up in my front porch. And so they were hot and sweaty and dirty. So she left them both in the tub and gave them a bath and put them in their pajamas. We're starved to death, I know. So she sat them down the table and fixed quite a nice dinner. They ate it. Can we go to bed? We're so tired. Yes, so she up and down the middle of the day. And she says, I slept between 3.5-4 hours in broad daylight. So she says, I knew they were mighty darn tired kids.
Key story.
I just want to tell her that was kind of cute.
Well, speaking of that, see, Dad's wives didn't go with him to these socials that they'd have, you know, when he was in the high priest quorum. And he was a high councilman first, and then he had charge of the high priests at the stake. And I know Flora went with him several times to some of those functions.